ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Sebastian Sowe is going to break the two-hour mark. He's going to win the London Marathon in incredible style. An historic performance, 1:59.30. Absolutely incredible. I've never seen anything like that. What a finish. That, you would say, is unbelievable. But we've just seen it.
That's the sound of history being made twice. Two runners in the London Marathon have run the distance in under 2 hours, something that has never been done before in race conditions. Kenyan runner Sebastian Sowe covered the distance in 1 hour, 59 minutes and 30 seconds, which beats the previous record by over a minute, with Yemef Kejelcha 11 seconds behind him. How momentous is this achievement for the distance running world? And was a record like this only a matter of time? Pun intended. I'm Poppy Penny, and this is ABC Sport Daily. Jess Stenson is a Commonwealth Games gold medalist in the marathon, so she knows what she's talking about when it comes to elite distance running. Jess, 42.2 kilometres in under 2 hours. It's never been done before under race conditions. What were you thinking when you saw not one but two runners in the London Marathon crack that mark?
Yeah, I have to admit I wasn't expecting it. It was my coach, Adam Didick, who started messaging me to say, I think one of them is going to go under 2 hours. So this was when Sowe and Kejelcha were both sort of coming home strong. And I thought, surely not. And anyway, it just started escalating. And I think people's message chats were going wild. And next minute, two of them have gone under. And a moment in history that pretty unforgettable.
For people who aren't runners, or for people like me who aren't great at maths, what kind of splits are we talking about here? Like, what pace would these guys have to have been running at to break the 2 hour barrier?
Yeah, well, so they were running pretty even splits for the whole first half, which was sort of setting them up for probably a 2:01. So I think they went through in 60:29. So if you imagine running a half marathon in that sort of time, it's pretty overwhelming. And at that point, I don't think people thought the 2 hour barrier was at risk of being broken. But then from 30Ks, it was actually Sowe who started to push the pace. And that second half, they got down to paces that would have set them up for like a 1:55 type marathon. They ended up running the second half in 59 minutes, so even quicker. And their 5K splits were sort of 13 high, 14 minutes in the later stages. So anyone who can relate to a 5K, it's just hard to wrap your head around. They got a fair bit faster in that second half and were just sprinting by the end.
What can you tell us about Sebastian Sowe? What do we know about the new world record holder?
He won the London Marathon last year and then went on to win the Berlin Marathon. So he's a world-class athlete and obviously very talented, not just in that he can run fast, but he knows how to win races.
Behind you, you've got the greatest of all time. You've got the Olympic champion. You've got last year's winner. And he's beaten them all. Sebastian Sowe is the 2025 London Marathon champion.
I don't know that people were predicting he'd go under two in this London Marathon, but as it was, the conditions were great. It was a really cool morning. I don't think they had strong winds to battle or anything like that. And sometimes, yeah, you just don't know until the day whether it's going to be favourable for the runners. Typically, London was cool, but in recent years it's been quite warm and it's been tough out there for the athletes. So it all just came together on the day, and I never thought I'd see in my lifetime two people going under two in the same race.
How would you be feeling if you were Yemef Kejelcha, who also, as you say, ran under the 2 hours and also broke the previous world record, but just happened to do it in the same race as Sowe?
I mean, he'd be over the moon. He was on debut, I'm pretty sure.
And Kejelcha was probably under 2 hours as well. Paula's just confirming to me in second place. There he is. That was something I don't think any of us thought we would ever see.
For that to be your first marathon, I think for him, he'll just be looking ahead to the future and what's possible. So whilst he didn't get all of the attention he could have yesterday, his time will come, I'm sure. So yes, it would be a little bit bittersweet, but how cool that they can celebrate that moment in history together as well.
How common is it to run a time like that in an event like the London Marathon on your marathon debut? Is that something, did that surprise you as a sort of casual and recreational runner? For me, I thought that seems crazy.
It's an interesting one, the debut marathon, because in a way you go in with nothing to lose. You're exploring new territory. You don't have any preconceived ideas. You probably know that it's going to hurt a lot at some point. And I think people will generally go in a little bit more conservatively because they really respect that distance and they haven't done it before. And some people do find their debut ends up being their best result because they just sort of were running free and exploring new territory. But typically I think people, as they learn the marathon event, they will improve with time. But yeah, there are a few cases out there where people actually never ran as fast as their debut because it was a unique day where they just had a bit of a different mental approach towards it all. Obviously the body's a bit fresher as well, and I think maybe as the years go on with marathon training you can pick up some niggles, but I've got a feeling Kajelch will go on to do great things in that event.
How did the whole thing play out on the day? The course, the conditions, gear, was there anything spectacular about any of that that said at the start of the day we were going to see two guys run sub 2 hour marathons?
I think one thing that was a bit unique, Sawe's team, I think his sponsor like many months ago said we're going to put him under like rigorous drug testing, I guess, procedures, just to show that he's clean, and you know they wanted to just promote that side of things. So that was quite a unique lead-in, having that proactive approach to showing we're doing everything to basically show the public that this athlete's doing it in a clean way. So I hadn't seen anything like that happen before. So perhaps that's his team thinking he's going to do really big things. In terms of the actual weather on the day, I think being an Australian, we were so focused on the Ballarat Marathon here on home soil that suddenly last night the London Marathon's on too, and you're thinking, oh, wow, I wonder what it's like over there. And I was particularly interested in the women, Eilish McColgan and Julia Patinane, who was the Ugandan athlete who sort of shocked the world. She won a bronze medal at World Champs. And so I was following their stories and hadn't really paid much attention to the men. And it wasn't until my coach started saying, I think the 2 hours is going to go down, that I really tuned into that race. So I wasn't aware of the conditions until those later stages of the race.
We have so much talk recently about gear, and in particular, the development of running shoes. Do you think that that played a big part in this speed? Like, is the development of running technology going to see running pushed faster and faster?
I think so. I mean, you only have to look at the world records across the board right now in running, and most of the athletes who hold the current world records, I think, are still competing. We don't have too many really old records anymore. A lot of them have been broken in recent years, and that's globally, but then also if you look at the Australian records. So something's happened in the last 5-6 years. I think shoe technology is a part of it. I think training approaches, there are a lot of different approaches these days, and because of social media, people can learn about everyone's different approaches and try new things. I think nutrition has a big part to play as well. There's been a lot of development in that space. Certainly fueling in the marathon has become a big topic, and 15, 20 years ago people were just grabbing a few drinks when they could out on course. Now there's all these really sort of specially formulated energy gels and carb mixes in drinks, and people are practicing it in training so they can get more in on the day. It's a bit of a combination of everything, and just with the running boom, I guess there's great depth at the moment, and you just wonder when it will sort of slow down. I feel like this momentum's been going for a few years now. Like, how quick can people get?
And the sub 2 hour mark is something that runners have been trying to crack for years. Eliud Kipchoge did it in 2019, but it wasn't considered a world record because of the conditions that he did it under. They were sort of heavily controlled, but we've now seen it done twice in one day. Do you think that this does open the door? It makes more runners believe, right, this is possible?
I do think it does, similar to the 4-minute mile when when that was broken.
250 yards to go and Bannister takes over. Watch his giant stride take him to the front as he races the last lung-bursting furlong to the finishing post. This was it, the final effort against the seconds that have kept him and many others from the four-minute mile. The tape is broken, and so is the record athletes have long been dreaming about.
Unlike the mile, the marathon, there are so many variables on the day that can heavily impact time. So course is one thing, obviously conditions, and probably the way the weather patterns are going, we're seeing more and more of the typically fast marathons land on sort of warmer days. I think I've just noticed in recent years, it feels like the big marathon events have been warmer, which isn't conducive to fast times. So I think it has opened doors, but you still need everything to line up on the day for that result to occur, which is quite rare in the marathon event.
Before we let you go, the men's world record wasn't the only one broken at the London Marathon. We had a record in the women's as well. Tigger Stasifa broke her own world record running 2 hours, 15 minutes and 40 seconds. What was going on in London on the weekend? That is crazy.
It is. And again, that was a really exciting race. There was Helen O'Beery, there was Assefa, there was Jepkosgei, and I think they all ran together, and Assefa sort of actually sat behind Helen O'Beery, so was doing a good job of, yes, drafting and perhaps not getting as much wind, and then played it tactically beautifully.
Well ahead of everybody else. This time she had to find the sprint finish, but she's the champion again in 2026 and will set another women's only world record by about 10 seconds.
I grew up in the era of that time that Paula Radcliffe ran back in the day, the women's only record. It was so exciting. And then I was in the 2017 London Marathon. I think the 2:17 time was run, and that feels like quite a long time ago now. So to see that 2:15, just minutes being shaved off, it was again just an unreal result, and it makes you wonder what's still to come.
Distance, and it seems that everything is getting very, very fast, and we appreciate you talking to us about it. Thanks so much for your time.
No, thank you. Yeah, an exciting day for the sport, that's for sure.
Headlines. Rugby League and the Papua New Guinean Prime Minister James Marape has thrown his support behind the Chiefs' pursuit of Tigers star Jerome Luai. Luai flew into Port Moresby on Sunday to meet with the power brokers at the PNG-based team that is set to enter the competition in 2028. And due to the tax-free contracts on offer for players who decide to join the new club, you can imagine they have a fair bit of cash to try and get him across the line. AFL and Executive General Manager of Football Performance Greg Swan has spoken today after a weekend of controversial decisions from the ARC. He addressed the non-touched call in the North Melbourne GWS game.
Two people in the ARC obviously have a review of the incident. They both felt that there wasn't sufficient evidence to turn that over, so they went back and said that was an umpire's call. We've had another review of that today. You can see that it was touched, so that one was incorrect.
And also the bizarre incident in the St Kilda West Coast match, which saw the game brought back after almost a minute of play had passed.
It was a mark. When you go through frame by frame, the ball doesn't completely cross the line. So the mark was right. I mean, the issue, well, there's two issues. Was it right? Yes. Did it take too long? Yes, it took too long. So that, you know, that was, as I said, 55 seconds, took too long. And so we've fixed that going forward. That won't happen again.
So, looking at these angles, we can see that the ARC is under review. Decision on scoreboard. Football, and in the Women's Champions League semi-finals, Matilda Caitlin Ford has played a key role in getting Arsenal over the line 2-1 in their first leg against OL Lyonnais. And in the WSL, Sam Kerr has kept Chelsea's faint title hopes alive with two goals in their 4-1 win over Everton. They were her 62nd and 63rd goals for Chelsea, making her the equal highest scorer for the club in the WSL, alongside Fran Kirby. I'm Poppy Penny, and this is ABC Sport Daily, produced by Ed Gooden. Thanks to the BBC for the extra audio used in this episode.